really blessed that you're all here. Thanks for coming. I was thinking about a lot of things and how thankful I am for people like you that love God, that love His Word, that enjoy fellowship with each other. And today, we had around 100 people, approximately a quarter of the people that are here, help set up and help make the place nicer than it already is and was. And as I was sitting back there and looking up here, gosh, it's pretty, isn't it? Just beautiful. Heart. So thanks for coming. I got a lot on my mind, which is bad for you. But if you'd like to go to Romans chapter 10, that's where we're going to start tonight. It really blessed me, a girl in our fellowship, Pam Frank, who every week has stuff that God did for her and how He answered her prayers and stuff. And I love Pammy so much. And she handed me this thing tonight. It says, Bible. But I looked on the back and it had the verse that I'm starting with tonight. And she didn't know that. So that blesses me. Earlier this year, around the beginning of January, a lot of people in this world make resolutions for the coming year and stuff. And I normally don't even bother with any of that. But this year, I decided that I wanted to believe God's word more than I have before, to see it come to pass in my life. And I wanted to operate the manifestations more in my life. And it's not like I didn't believe God before January. I did a couple times. And, you know, but I want to believe God more in my life and see God's word come to pass. So I think believing, all of us would like to grow in our believing in our walks with God. But if we're going to grow to see God's promises come to pass, and if we're going to see it in our lives, we got to absolutely believe that the Bible is the truth. It sounds so simple, and it is, but we need to believe. If we're going to see God's word come to pass in our life, we have to have a standard. And the standard that God set was His word. That's what He set. And we need to believe that God's word is His will. If we're going to believe and see things come to pass in our life, that's what we need to do. In Romans 10:17, it says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by one thing. What is that? The word of God. It couldn't be any simpler. Right? How hard is that to understand? Faith, or word faith means believing, as you know. It comes by hearing the word. That's why it's so important. That was a nice thing that you said, Dean, that I share the word. That's my life. I decided it a long time ago that that was my life. And so that's how I like to live. And it helps me, and it should help others. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word faith in the Greek is the Greek word pistis. That's not important to understand the Greek word. But what it means is very simple. It's a firm persuasion. You're persuaded. When you're persuaded about something, you are convinced that there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a firm persuasion. It's the conviction which is based upon hearing. This is what the definition of pistis is. It's based on hearing. Here we just read, faith cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. Hearing it. Talking it to ourselves. speaking it to others, reading it, and letting the word of Christ envelop us. It just bless us. And it also, you know, it means having confidence, having trust in something. And in what I'm talking about tonight is God's word. You know, we trust, I don't know what we trust, but we should trust God's word. We've heard time and time again in our lives how the word of God came, and that's good that we actually know that. You know how it says in Peter, the prophecy of the scripture came not in olden time by the will of who?
Man.
But holy men of God spake as God told them what to speak, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the word. It wasn't a convention where a bunch of people got together and say, well, how do you think we should start this thing? And one guy says, the sun comes up in a coffee cup. The other guy goes, no, that's not. You know how those conventions or those committees work, right? We see it today in a beautiful way, how greatly our country is run by tremendous politicians who get along. That's not how the word of God came. It didn't come by the will of man. Man didn't go, here's what I want. No. It didn't come that way. Holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. And I've heard people that I've shared the word with, or maybe even for you perhaps at times, wonder, well, now, God, how could God tell man? Well, how couldn't he? You ever look at the sky, the moon, the stars, the trees, the mountains? You ever look at bugs and, I don't know, maybe they're not of God, I don't know. But, you know, all these cool things like snowflakes and all these things. To think that God couldn't talk to a human being is repugnant and repulsive to my brain. Of course he can, and he does. He did, and that's how we got the word of God. And it says that all scripture, all of it is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it. He said here, all scripture, all of it, not some of it, all of it is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, which means it benefits you for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and all that. All of it came from God. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should what?
Lie.
God doesn't lie. One thing God is not capable of is lying. He can't lie. Imagine such a thing. The word says all men are liars, the nicest of men here. So God's not capable of lying. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. It didn't come in the old time by will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is someone who is our Lord and Savior, who lived, who died, who rose, who ascended, so that we could have a life that's more than abundant, who it says in the word that we're supposed to put this mind on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This man who never lied, in John chapter 17, as he's praying and talking to his Father, one of the great chapters. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God doesn't lie. Jesus Christ said God's word is what?
True.
So there's all the questions should be taken out of it from our lives. But they're not. Because this world is run by the adversary. He's constantly headed for our sense knowledge. He's trying desperately to hit those areas in our lives where we're weak, and all of us have weaknesses. And he tries to gang up on us, so to speak. And this is where the work comes in. But it's work that's well worth the work. Today we worked. We just enjoyed ourselves. I didn't even consider it. It was fun. It was just fun. So that everything could be nice and be ready for you guys to hear God's word. Fun. Matthew 5, verse 6. You can write it down if you want to. I don't care. Jesus Christ said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Jesus Christ said that. So are we hungry? Are we hungry? If we're hungry enough, we'll eat. If we aren't, we won't. Are we hungry for understanding? Are we hungry for answers? Are we hungry for decisions that we need to make in our life? Are we hungry? I'm confident that the reason you're here is because you want to be, and that you want to hear God's word, and that you want to be with God's people and live the mystery a little bit. I'm sure that's why you're here. So when we're hungry for God's word, we will be filled. So how do we get this? How do we get this word in our lives? Well, James, you can go there. We'll go there and read a verse. Maybe that would be nice. Jerry read a verse in his teaching. Wow, that's amazing. James 1, very foundational verse. I'm not going to touch anything that's too difficult. Verse 21, this is how we receive the word. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And here's how we do it. And we receive the word, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls or make whole your soul. I want my soul whole. So how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, the word here says receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able. And one thing we've learned through the years, perhaps most of us, is that God's ability equals his willingness, and his willingness equals his ability. What God is able to do, he's also willing to do, and what he's willing to do, he's also able to what? Do. So it says here, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able. Because he's the author. He's the author of it. This word of God is able to save, make whole our souls. Dang, that's good. But the way to receive it is with meekness. Are we know-it-alls? Are we the ones that always have an answer back? Or we feel like we have to? Or if somebody quotes you a verse and shares a verse with you that you already know, you go, thanks, I've got this one, all right? Look, man, it's the word, right? It's the word of God. And the way to receive it is not with hesitancy. It's not with being conceited. It's with meekness. Meekness basically means you're free of all haughty self-sufficiency. It's not about you and what you know. It's not about me and what I know. You know what? The older I get, the more I know I don't know. And the more I'd like to know more about God and his word. Because that's the standard. That's it. That's the seal. That's the deal. And that's what's able to make my soul whole. Would it be a bad song? Gonna make my soul whole tonight? By being meek to your word, it's all right. And here, this word receive is a word that some of us are familiar with, dekomai in the Greek, but forget about the Greek. Here's the definition of receive in this verse. Receive with meekness. Receive means, and this is fantastic, to take to oneself what is given by another. It's to take what somebody gives you. That's what it is. Take it. Take it. What somebody gives you, what's given by another. It's to accept. It's to embrace. In other words, you don't only take it, you embrace it. It's just like, oh, you know that water that you get on a hot day, how it refreshes your soul. Look, this is how we're to receive. We take it. We embrace it. We accept it subjectively. We want it. We got to have it. We take. We accept, we embrace. You can write this down, take it easy on your fingers, but Acts 17:11 is another great verse where it says, these were more noble. Oh, and by the way, there was a baby boy born. What's his name? What's the new Sonardo baby boy name? Well, this is the problem. Okay. I thought there was something wrong there. Now, this girl that they just had, I saw her when she was 8 hours. Her name's Adeline Joy, is it? The word Adeline, I go, what's the word Adeline mean, Chris, Jill? They go, I don't know. It's great. It's great. So I looked it up. And it means noble. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful meaning of a name. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what they did. They heard this wonderful word of God with a noble heart, with a meek heart, a heart that was ready to receive, accept, and to embrace information from another, meaning God and his word. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word of God. Man, oh man, oh man. Something. And they did it with readiness of mind. We need, like before we came, I don't know what you do before you come. I know what I do before I even go to my own fellowship. I pray. I hardly can wait to see the people that are there sitting where they're sitting. Praying that it'll be a night of rejoicing, a night of fun. And if you ever want to have fun, come 25 Ray Street Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. I can't start my fellowship in time. It's impossible. Because everybody's laughing and enjoying themselves and sharing. Receive the word with all readiness of mind. And then they search the scriptures daily. They didn't search the internet daily. They didn't search Fox News or CNN. They searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so and that they lined up. And it's a good idea for all of us. But how did they receive? They received it with a readiness of mind. And I always pray when I come to these things that I'm going to get really blessed. I go to one of my favorite days of the month is going to Joe Armstrong's fellowship coordinators meeting, which I'm a fellowship coordinator in his area. And for me, that's just it. I go, he teaches the word, I leave. It's just like one of those deals. I just want to hear the word that he's going to share because I know that that's going to really help me for the next month. And it does. It always does. It never misses. But I'm ready. I'm meek. I want to hear. I'm meek. I'm really the meekest person. But, you know, at that particular moment, I'm meek. How's that? That's. I don't know that I'm always meek. I probably am not. But that's next year's goal. yeah, I got to work on that one. But Titus, go to Titus. So we receive the word of God with meekness. We receive it with the readiness of mind. We embrace it. We take it. We accept it. Titus 1, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the great gainsayers. We hold this word of God fast in our minds. And in order to do that, it takes work. It's probably the hardest work that any of us ever can do. It's changing our way of thinking to the way of the word of God. It takes an effort on our parts to do it. The world, the facts, the senses take a back seat to what God's word says. What does his word say? What's it say? What's it say? We hold this word of God in our minds and we don't allow anything or anyone to talk us out of it ever. And you know, maybe it is an effort that takes time to hold it there, but man, it's worth the effort. A lot of How many of you have a job? Okay, good. Good. Well, so we got some working people in America. You work, you do your job, and then prayerfully you get paid, right?
Yes.
So you earn your work, you earn your pay. Our pay, with receiving God's word meekly, with receiving with a hungry heart, with a readiness of mind, embracing it, is seeing God's word come to pass. Our soul being whole. Things come up in this world. Oh, don't I know it. But if we're going to see God's word come to pass in our lives, it's absolutely vital for us to apply these simple principles. Believing is simple. Thank God. So many times it's so simple, people don't believe. You think, I got this scripture. I'm holding it. And you know, nothing happens sometimes. When other times you just walk out like a flower on a mountain. You know, like a butterfly flying around. Lighthearted, and you see this word of God come to pass and you just shake your head. I do. Whenever I try too hard, it never works. Whenever I just have confidence that God's going to hold me up and not even worry about it, just go. Boom. And then, you know, I'm like, see, I don't know about you, but every time God does something for me or for you even, I go, oh my God, that was incredible. You know, I'm blown away. I shouldn't be, I guess, but because God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and all that is so big, it just blesses me to see when God comes through for people. God has given us the ability, and we use what God has given us. For instance, in Espanol, por ejemplo. That's pretty good. I know. Take it easy. Been working on that for 2 years. 2 años. Yeah. So, listen now. Listen over here. Here, this is good. We have eyes. Ojos. So that we can see. We have that ability. We have eyes, so we see. We have hands, so we can touch. We have noses, so we can breathe. We have legs and arms, so we can move and walk. What's available? I got a nose. I smell lasagna. Ooh. Hey. So, God's word's like this. He gave us things. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We'll go to another verse. How's that? 2 Peter 1. These verses. I remember in 1971, February of 71, sitting through a class called Power for Abundant Living. And hearing these verses. And just, I don't even know what happened. I took it at Howie's house. Of course, everybody took it at Howie's house. There was 4 million people that took a class at Howie's house. But, you know, this was one of the verses that were shared in the first few sessions. Thank you, Lance. Sessions of PFAL. And this still to this day just blows my mind. Let's read verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things, not some things, not most things, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given, doesn't say earned, whereby are given, no strings, no, what's that called, interest, given, just given, whereby are given, great and precious promises. Nope. Exceeding great and precious. What do we want? Oatmeal and Nestle's Quick. Tang. I am a senior citizen. Who do you want? Exceeding great and precious promises? Given. 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 Joel, could you come here just for a second? Joel, you, that Joel. Here. Here. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. I gave it, he took it. And that's what we do with the word. We just take it. He didn't wonder if there was some secret message involved. He didn't think that he had to work for it. He took it. He took it. God said, oh boy, God's word, exceeding great and precious promises. And the verse before, all things that pertain unto life. And that word life means life in all of its manifestation. All of its fullness, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. No matter what you did yesterday, no matter how bad you've been, you're maybe your whole, my whole lousy life, I've been terrible. But if I'm born again, he's given me those exceeding great and precious promises, even if you're not the, Jesus. He's given us these promises. He's given it to us. Take it. Take it. Take it tonight. Take whatever promise you need in God's word and believe it and just accept it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's decisions, whether it's a matter of a heart being healed, or you know how we get frustrated in this crazy world, or I do sometimes. But all things that pertain unto life and godliness, exceeding great and precious promises. When we promise to do something for someone, most of the time we make an effort to fulfill that promise, right? I mean, most of us, right? You do. You try to, do what you say you're going to do. This isn't like us. This is God. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And now what she said, shall he not make it good? God is not a man, praise the Lord, that he should lie. He'll never lie. Take it. Take it, man. He's perfect. Take it. Take it. Take it. God giveth us stuff. He gave us promises. He's given us sonship rights. He's given us so. He is all about giving to his kids. And we're his kids. 1 Corinthians 2. I went back. I had to see Ursi at the nursing mothers. But you see these beautiful babies. They go, not today. I want some Oreos. No, they just eat. They just eat. They allow themselves to eat. It's a beautiful thing. That's what we do with God. We just eat. We accept what he's given us. We feed ourselves on the nourishment of God and his word. Verse 12, I think. Yes. Oh, this is such great scripture. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And here's why. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The reason we have spirit is so that we can know the things that God freely gave us. Boy, you look at religion and it's always what you have to do to acquire. And it's never good enough. You know that. But God wants us to know the things that are freely given to us. Nothing that we earned. We learned in Ephesians that it's by grace that we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. He wants us to know the things that are freely given to us. And not only that, the next verse says, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. And you can't compare spiritual things to spiritual if you don't have spirit. That's why the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. I think that's the next verse. See, take it. Take it. Learn what you've freely been given. Learn what you've been. He wants us to know what we've been given. We heard this saying before, we are what the Word of God says we are. Well, what does the Word say we are? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We are what the Word of God says we are. We are what the Word of God says we are. And if this Word of God's going to live through future generations, we who know the Word of God need to proclaim it in our own lives and be examples. And then, after we're examples and after we've lived it, then share it. Share it, share it. Don't hold on to it, man. Share it. There's people out there. Oh, man. There's people out there who want what you have, who have waited their whole life so they could meet you, so that they could hear the Word of God that you have to share with them, so that they could meet you so they could be healed, so they could meet you so they could get born again and operate the manifestations. There's people waiting on you. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. But while we're passing through, we got something to live. And that's the mystery. Where am I? I didn't say yet. Two. Dose. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are what the Word of God says we are. We are sons of God. Sons of the Most High. Now, some of you had really great parents. You had great moms, great dads, and I'm thankful for you if you did. You know, and you brag about your parent. If somebody talked bad about your parent, you knock them on their keister. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, at that moment, we were born again of God's Spirit, born from above, sons of God. Pretty great. Romans 8, verse 16. 8:16. Says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're sons of God and we're children of God. We're children of God. We are what the Word of God says we are, and part of that is we're children of God. My dad did his best, and we used to get a gift or two on Christmas. That was nice. I loved that. It was great. Get a gift on Christmas, maybe on your birthday. Nice. Nice. We have the Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. I don't know what that means, but it means he's big. Romans 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? Honor. Through him that what? Honor. He loved us. He loves us. Sometimes I don't know why, but he does, because he's God. And he's made you and I more than conquerors. I don't care what the situation is. He's made us to be that way. And if you read the context of that verse, there's 17 different obstacles that are mentioned in the Word of God. 17 of them, right? Like in two or three verses. And none of those things can hold a candle to us being more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Don't you love hearing when God does stuff for people? I sure do. It just blesses you. It's not like you didn't know that God did stuff like that, but it just always blesses us to hear. Colossians chapter 2, take it easy, verse 10, says, you are complete in him. Complete. I look at myself in the mirror and I see plenty of flaws, lots of flaws. Although Classy said I look younger every year. We're complete. On the inside, we're completely, completely, completely complete. We are complete. If I have my guitar, I'd play it right now. One of the best songs ever written. The words are, I am completely, completely, complete. I am completely, completely, complete in him. It's very good. Dylan wished he had those words. We are complete. Nothing's missing. Spiritually, nothing's missing. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Made unto us wisdom, being able to know what to do. So many times we know we're supposed to do something, but maybe we don't know how to do it, or we don't know what to do in the situation. Well, God has given us wisdom. You imagine such a thing? Being able to do the right thing, that's a pretty cool thing. And righteousness, which is God, our God-given justification, whereby we stand before God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, shortcoming, or any of that stuff. Imagine that. Boy, religion sure tries to steal that one from you. Don't let it. You're righteous. You're righteous. There's nothing I did about it or didn't do about it. God made me this way. That's how I am. That's part of who I am. That's part of the completeness that I am. And you are. And sanctification. He set us apart from the world. Well, praise God, act like it. Why do we want to fashion ourselves according to what the world says that we're supposed to fashion ourselves to? Man, be you. I remember, I don't know where I was, but it was very shortly after I first took the PFL class, writing down a list of things that I wanted in my life. And one of the things was I wanted to be the best Jerry Carr I could be for God. I didn't want to be Dr. Weirwell. I didn't want to be Howie. I wanted to apply a lot of what they, but I wanted to be me. I knew God called me to be me. And it's been an ongoing adventure ever since I asked God that. And he's helped me be the best me. I don't want to be like somebody else. I want to learn from every believer and apply things that they apply, but only how I could apply it. And so we're set apart from this world and we're redeemed. He made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 20. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are what the word says we are. Well, we're ambassadors. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. Man, that's quite a privilege. Ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Man, if President Obama or President Trump asked you to be ambassador, even if you didn't like him, you'd think that that would be a pretty cool privilege, don't you? Yeah. I would. I would think it'd be great. I'd say no, but I would think it would be pretty cool, you know. This is Jerry Carr. What are you asking me this? No, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I don't want anything to do with you. We're ambassadors. And you know, not only are we what God's word says we are, but we have what God's word says we have. Romans 5, verse 1. Oh, man. Many times I think God has me mixed up with someone else. He's so good to me. It says, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, if this is really true, then no matter what would happen this way, we still have peace with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We have what the word of God says we have. And here it says, we have peace with God. Peace is that undisturbed, untroubled absence of all strife. It's as if you're enjoying your forgiveness. It's forgiveness enjoyed. When you know you've been forgiven, and boy, I tell you, it's easy to say, but for some people, it's really tough to kick that bad habit. You've been forgiven. No matter what your brain tells you, no matter what your friends tell you, no matter what somebody who's mad at you tell you, you've been forgiven. It's over with. So many times condemnation is the capital thing that holds people back from accepting these wonderful truths. When the word says there is therefore now no condemnation, no words against, none. I don't care if you cut chickens' heads off yesterday for no reason at all, just for the fun of it. You know, to see if they'd talk or something. You know. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it matters to the chicken, but you've been forgiven. No matter what it would be that you have done or are about to do. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you've been forgiven. We don't sin that grace may abound, God forbid, but you know, we make mistakes probably on a daily basis, and God has forgiven us. And that's one of the greatest rights a believer has, is forgiveness, because that helps you be peaceful. When you enjoy the forgiveness, that's why one of the definitions of peace is forgiveness enjoyed. We have peace. 2 Corinthians 9. It's so fun to go through the Word of God and just read the simplicity of it. You know, I haven't advanced that far in knowing everything there is to know about the Bible. And maybe I should have advanced further. I probably should have. But you know, I want to learn the lesson. I want to learn the lesson to the end that I apply it in my life before I make great strides into understanding the significance of Hebrews or whatever. I'm not discrediting that, but I'm just talking about me. It's the simplicity of the word that must be believed. It must be shared with great love and patience and understanding. 2 Corinthians 9, okay. Verse 8, God is able, and we talked about that before, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I'm going to lay some research on you now, so hold your breath. There's a figure of speech in here called polypetuum. Poly. It's repetitions of words. It's a figure. And all is the word. And it's to bring attention to the greatness of what he's given us. All grace. Grace. Extended favor to us when we don't deserve it, you know? Gosh, I deserve grace? No way, Jose. But he's given me all grace. I'm a grace case. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every... All sufficiency in all things covers it all. All sufficiency in all things. Think about what you need right now. Okay. God's right. God is right. His word is true. We read that. We know that. So, take it. Just take it. Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Yeah, every part, we have Christ in us. He said in John 14:12, "What, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." What'd he do? Nothing. Not what? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out lepers. He was loving to the unlovable. The only people he got irritated with was the religious people. That's who he got irritated with. He spent a lot of his time on the field with downers and outers, people that had needs and knew they had needs. Not the perfect people with the three-car garage and, you know, the $150,000 job, you know, the kids with the school fund and, you know, the medical program and all. Come on, man. Come on, man. I just, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I don't know when it was, my wife and I got to share this a little. It'll be brief, I promise. Well, see if I fulfill my promise. But I've been wanting to take my children to California and show them where I grew up. Show them the schools I went to, the parks I played at, the people I fought with. Show them, you know, I did. I didn't want, you know, the California, I didn't want to go to wine country, you know. Monterey, Carmel, you know, the beautiful mountains, the orchards. No, that's not where I grew up. But I always wanted to show them that. And we got to take Jesse and Lisi with us. And I thought, well, I'm going to be out here. Maybe I can call some old friends to see if I can get together with them. And some old believers who I've been on and off in contact with on Facebook and stuff like that. Oh, my God. We ended up doing a fellowship in our hotel. I couldn't do it in my room. I had to rent a room downstairs. There's people out there, man, who want what you have. And these are people. When I tell you these people are people that helped get me in the Word, some of them, that have been in the Word over 40 years, but for one reason or another, lost their way is a stupid thing to say, I guess. You know, but they weren't fellowshipping with anybody, still love God, still loved His Word. And lo and behold, they still loved each other. There wasn't like any awkwardness. People just embraced each other. And boy, do they love Howie. God, they love Howie. And what was a trip that was, I was supposed to show Jesse and Lisi, we spent an afternoon with that, basically, and the rest of the time with believers. I counted it up. We were with over 30 believers, and we spent over 35 hours in 5 days. That was it. It was on, and it's going to get even greater. There's people out there who need your love, who need your heart right now. This world is hungry. And there's believers out there, too, that just got lost in the shuffle. They don't have an agenda. They're not on somebody's team or anything like that. All that team stuff is a bunch of divisive crap. I'm on God's team. God's team. Yeah. So, are you? First Ephesians. Chapter 1. Verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness. Holy moly. That's pretty good. Been forgiven. Verse 11 says we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. God wants you to know you've been forgiven. Who here knows 1 John 1:9? Somebody, Lance, stand up and say, you better get it right though, brother. You're on the spotlight. You better get it right now. Come on now, don't take all day. What?
1:9.
Wait, let me give you a little hint. I'll give you a lead in. Wait. Let me give you a lead in. Wait. No, brother, wait. Be patient. I'm going to help you right here. What? I'm going to help you. If we
confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, that's all right. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What? That's our God. He is faithful. He is just. We're not always faithful. We're not always just. He is always faithful. He is always just to cleanse us of our sins. Not, you know, that's the whole deal from the inside out. This is part of what He has given us. We have what the Word of God says. We have forgiveness. Go to, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go there. Yeah, three. Verse 12. Ephesians. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and access. Can you imagine having access to God? I mean, you know, I don't know who you'd like to meet, Eric Clapton or, I don't know, Brad Pitt or, I don't even know who's out there anymore. Who do you like? Enrique Iglesias. Well, we will pray for you after fellowship. Enrique Iglesias. But, you know, there'd be people I would love to meet, you know, and ask questions to and stuff like that. We have access. We have access, full access to the one who created the heavens and the earth. And we can go to him with confidence, and we can go to him with boldness, knowing that he loves us, that he has us. In the hollow of his holy hand, he has you and me right now. And we can go there because he's made it available to go there. To God Almighty, El Shaddai. It just blows my mind. Look at what God gave us freely. I mean, it's amazing. Colossians 1. I got about 60 more and then we'll stop. Verse 11. This is written to you and me, you know. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, it's available to endure things and still be joyful. You read it in Thessalonians, you read it all over the place. And it is available. Even though it's tough time going, you can still be joyful. Giving thanks, verse 12, unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath, listen to this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I just am flabbergasted by the truth of that. He's delivered us from the exercise power of the adversary. Jesus Christ lived, died, rose, and ascended so that we could have life and have it more abundant. In Psalm 107, you can write it down, verse 20, it says, he sent his word. What did he send?
His word.
And healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He sent his word. His word's good enough because it's God's word. God doesn't lie. God's all powerful. God is all wise. God is all loving. God is all kind. He's the adjective that everyone would want to have. He's a God of peace. He sent his word and healed them. Not only that, but delivered them from all their destructions. In another place in Psalms, it said he delivered them from all their fears. And we know that fear is an enemy of God. It's a horrible enemy. Where we have fear, we cannot believe God's word rightly. But God is, he's said in 2 Timothy, you can write this down. Take it easy on your hands, though. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of what?
Sound.
Wow. Only God could do that. Power, love, sound mind, as opposed to fear. He's conquered fear. Jesus Christ conquered fear. And as Joe Armstrong says sometimes, You know, if we're more than conquerors, we ought to do some conking. He sent his word, not a psychologist, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not an educator, Caitlin, not a philosophy. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction, delivered them from all fear, all destruction, anything that would ever harm a believer. He did it for us because he's God. His word, his word, his word is what he sent. Not an educator, not a psychologist, not a doctor. Good Lord, there's doctors coming out our ears today. Everybody knows everything and nobody knows nothing. Look. It says in Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and God's weakness is stronger than men. God isn't foolish. Of course, it's a figure, but the point is God is the one who has all the answers, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, remember? How hard was it for us to go from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God? All we had to do was confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, and we were saved. At that moment, we were rescued from this crazy cockeyed world that's run by the adversary, and the adversary is on the move all the time. He ain't taking a vacation. But, you know, it says in 1 John 4:4 that we're of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in us than he that is where. And that's the end of that. We heard the word, we believe it. When it came to salvation, we heard the word, we believed it, and boom, eternal life, right? We learned that speaking in tongues was a good thing. Jesus said we could, Paul said we shouldn't. Speaking in tongues is very, very good. We read it in Acts, and what do? We spoke in tongues. And you know, out of all the manifestations, sense knowledge-wise, that's the goofiest one. I mean, you go boom, 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 or whatever you do. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't make any sense. And yet God gave that to every single believer to profit by, to benefit by, to have rest to our soul, to be able to make intercession for the saints, and on and on and on. Speaking in tongues was simple. So is the rest of the word of God. God did not make his word so that we wouldn't understand it or so that we would fail. He gave us God, his word, so that we could be blessed, so that we could be healed, so that we could be delivered. We heard the word, we believe it, it came to pass, boom. And God's given every believer 9 manifestations. We're not going to go over all of them, but I'll list them. You know what they are. Tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And he gave that to the believers so that they might profit, so that they could have a supernatural way to overcome the adversary. You know, to have words of God that are humanly impossible for our 5 senses to know anything. God gives us that. God gives us, then with that knowledge, he gives us a way. He gives us a way to put it to use, to apply it, what to do in a given situation once you know something. And then the ability to know what's going on spiritually, to know what's happening, keep your eyes open. You'd be surprised someplace and sometime. You know, God will let you know what's going on spiritually. He's God. He's given us these manifestations. They weren't earned, and they're simple. And then the manifestation of believing, to bring the impossible past, miracles, instantaneous stuff, gifts of healing, where you get healed. And this weekend, part of the weekend is designed so that we hear the word and we get blessed and we get delivered, we get healed, we get answers. This is God's word. And people who are controlled by their sense knowledge, and this includes believers, have a hard time believing God's word. Because the world and the worldly knowledge and their sense knowledge runs their life. So believing makes it difficult for those who are run by their sense knowledge to believe God's word. But those who believe God's word see things happen time after time. As we saw, it takes a desire and effort to put God's word into our heads and into our hearts. It does. It takes an effort, but God fills all those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And one thing we can really do to help others and assist others in their life is to share the word with them. I started with, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we have confidence and we have trust in this word of God and believing in the word of God, we're going to see God's promises come to pass. And we'll have a life that's more than abundant. A little while ago, Terry Lee sent me, she writes tremendous stuff, and she sent me this, and I thought I'd share it with you, entitled, God's Words Are True. A man told me once that he'd meet me at 8. I was there, but he was late. Then a man said he'd pay me back, but I never saw him with my cash. You see, the words of men aren't always true. They say they will, but that's not what they do. Even a man with the best intentions can fall short in the things he mentions. But the words of God are not like that. For what God says will come to pass. God magnified his word above all his name. What he says, he means the same. For God is not a man that he should lie. His words are perfect. They're pure. They're tried. So when you hear God's matchless word, fear not to trust the things you heard. For with no doubts you can be sure that what God promised, he'll do and more. Our believing is all God needs to guarantee that we'll succeed. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you, Father, for how you've magnified your word above your name and how you've made it available for out of all the millions and billions of people, Father, for us to know a little bit about you. Thank you, Father, for our believing to rise and for you helping us in the areas that we really need help. We know you're able and willing to do so. So we cast all our care on you, Father, knowing that you got us and that you always take care of us. Thank you, Father, for this night being a glory to you. Thank you, Father, for everyone having a great sleep. And if your son should tarry, that we have a great, great day tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless you.